It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Deadline Day, presented by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka at McGurk's in Horsham. Jim Salisbury with us. Devin Caney at the Deadline Desk with any updates as they come. Jim, let me ask you this. How much, you know, John Middleton says what he says goes, ultimately, right? I mean, he gives Dave Dombrowski marching orders, I would imagine, to a certain extent. They have conversations. But how much of the fact that this Phillies team has not gone all the way yet, and I don't think it's nothing that the Eagles won the Super Bowl in the same city. How much do you think that drives Middleton crazy, and then to an extent has him go to Dombrowski and say, I am comfortable with more risk than usual for a deadline in a year like this?
Yeah, that's a great question because, I mean, John is, you know, he's a Philadelphian. He grew up here. He's a huge Philadelphia sports fan his whole life, and he is a big Eagles fan. He's been in attendance at both of their Super Bowl victories in the last 7 years, and, you know, he wants one badly. I don't know that it's, you know, he wants to keep up with the Eagles. I just think he wants to be a champion as well. I mean, he has said that, you know, winning a World Series, he views it as his legacy. He wants it badly. And I think Dave Dombrowski wants it just as badly. I think the guy is already a Hall of Famer, but I think he's driven by winning World Series. That's why you play the game. That's why everybody in the game is in it, to win World Series. And I think he would love to bring one to Philadelphia and have one final line on his Hall of Fame plaque and deliver one for John Middleton. But, you know, I think their level of aggressiveness actually matches up quite well. I know Dave has not parted with big prospects in the last few years. I think he did so yesterday. He finally made the deal that sort of, you know, was commensurate with his previous reputation before he came here. You know, gave up big prospects for a needle mover. But, you know, his aggressiveness and Middleton's, I think, match up very well. And Middleton has complete faith in Dave Dombrowski. If Dave Dombrowski goes to him and says, you know, I think this is a move we need to think about, we need to make, I honestly think John Middleton will sign off on it because he has that level of trust. But I don't think John has to twist Dave's arm. I think they both know, you know, what they're trying to do. And there's a lot of shared value in terms of values, I should say, and beliefs in terms of bringing this town a championship.
Then why do you think, you know, Dombrowski certainly came here with the reputation of, and by the way, even though he's had a few trade deadlines where he hasn't parted with prospects, when you hear him talked about publicly, it's Dave Dombrowski's going to trade prospects. So what has been, do you think, standing in the way of them actually making moves like they've made this year? And what is the difference, do you think, this year?
Yeah, I think the difference this year is they're deeper in prospects. And I think there's also they've gotten to the postseason 3 years in a row, come up short 3 years in a row, and their, you know, stays in the month of October have lasted shorter and shorter. I mean, I think it's, you know, desperation. They've become more desperate. They know the clock is ticking on this nucleus. It's a high-mileage team. Their nucleus, their core is all over 30. And, you know, Zach Wheeler is 35, pitch at 36 next year. They know the clock is ticking. So that, combined with the fact that their farm system has gotten better, they have a few, you know, a handful of, you know, marquee prospects that can help deliver. And you know, you part with some of those to get where you need to go this October. So I think it's the entire ball of wax, the fact that they haven't gotten it done yet, the fact that they're getting older, the fact that they have a few more prospects, and the fact that it's time. It's time.
Do you think that the, and this is not just for the Phillies, but overall in the league, the potential of a work stoppage in 27 informs any of the decisions about this year?
I think it's something that they have to look at. I think you'd be naive not to look at it.
Yeah.
Because it is looming, and it could very well be the last year of Dave Dombrowski's contract. It is. He's signed through 27. It would be the last year of Zach Wheeler's contract. So, yeah, it all plays into the entire tapestry that the clock is ticking, and it just adds another variable to it that, you know, the time is now. So, sure, I think that does play a factor in it all. And, you know, I think this labor stuff is going to dominate the next year, and after 26, we're probably, I wouldn't doubt if we saw a lockout as just a sort of a negotiating tactic. And, you know, people talk about gloom and doom and missing an entire season, but when I think about that, I just don't know whether either side has the guts to kill the golden goose.
Especially with the momentum they've built the last three
now,
or four years.
They'll talk a lot about it leading right up to that last minute, but, you know, they'll make threats and they'll talk about shutting down to protect what they have or to get what they want. But, you know, it was like the last time. There was a lot of gloom and doom, but, you know, when people started pushing the panic button and realizing they're going to miss paychecks, it changes the whole kind of
damn
view
right.
of it all.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Nobody wants to miss paycheck.
Nope.
I don't want to miss paycheck. Okay, final thing, Jim, on just in your this line of questioning. Sorry to put you. I'm not trying to put you on the stand.
You feel like you're on the hot seat yet,
Jim? Well, you know, I think Jim brings a different perspective than we bring. I am a
Well, it's great to have a real baseball voice on the show.
Yes, finally.
Uh-oh. We got an alert. All right, source.
Wake up back there, Luke.
Source, the Mets are acquiring Cedric Mullins from the Orioles.
Oh. Good, he stinks.
Yeah. I've heard his name I've heard his name all year, and I've hoped that the Phillies would not get him.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, there we go.
I also have a rumor. It's not a report or anything, but Mark Feinstein says Ryan O'Hearn has multiple suitors. Sources say the Orioles' asking price for the lone 2025 All-Star is very high. It will be interesting to see if it comes down. So I think the Mets were also in that race. I don't know if the Phillies are or not.
What is the position that he played?
Yeah. So he's a first baseman, but they think it could also stand in the outfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, if I was the
Orioles, I wouldn't be mad about it.
If I was the Orioles, I'd be a little careful just selling during one bad year. They have a lot of good players, the Orioles.
Yeah. Well, Mullins is a free agent at the end of the year.
Jim, the final question. You had said on, I believe it was on the podcast, that the Phillies in the clubhouse were looking for additions. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Harper, I assume he was just asked about Suarez, but said Suarez's name when he was talking about potentially moving to the outfield. Let's say this is all, and there's not another deal by 6 o'clock. If you're in that Phillies clubhouse, you're one of those guys you talk to, do you feel like the team said, we believe in you guys, we went for it? Is this the kind of a deadline that maybe gives them a jolt, or is it short of that?
I think this gives them a lift.
Okay.
I mean, all the years I've been around contending teams, and I've been around many of them, it's very common for players to, you know, get greedy and want more and to fill every hole because they want to get to, you know, October and they want to have a parade, and this clubhouse really wants it badly. So I do think they are fired up to get Duran. I mean, some guys have faced him. They know how nasty he is. You know, they've lost some ball games late this year. This guy really strengthens the bullpen, and they should be able to protect leads late. I think they're excited to have his thunder and his power and his presence and maybe help solve some problems in October, at least on the bullpen side. So I think this qualifies as a move that makes you stand up and take notice and feel like management has your back, yes. Because, you know, they also know that they gave up some good prospects. They gave up a couple of good prospects.
215-592-9494. Now, as Joe and Jack decided not to be outside when it was 100 degrees, the folks over at Guida...
Station decision.
It was not a station decision. The folks over at Guida, well, they had 200-degree days, and they replaced all of my windows on those 2 days. So I just want to... And patio door, by the way. If you want to do the same thing, you want to replace... And by the way, did a great job. In and out. Didn't make a mess, which is also important. And now I got these energy-efficient triple-pane windows. Perfect. My energy bill is going to go down. If you want the same thing to happen, here's what I want to tell you. Call Guida. And I have been telling you, the big summer sales event, 40% off, went till July 31st. This now goes through August because they know you screwed around and waited too long. So through August, get 40% off your entire project, your windows, your doors, everything through the month of August. Not just that. Buy now, pay later, which means no money out of pocket, and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. But you already waited too long. Today's July 31st. This was going to be the deadline. The deadline will now be the end of August. Call GUIDA today, 877-GO-GUIDA. Get a free no-obligation in-home estimate or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. Jim, actually, one more question.
Yeah.
The Bryce Harper extension.
Oh, here we go.
Well,
Spike's been reporting on this.
I have not been reporting on it. I just know he wants it. He doesn't say it out loud in those words anymore. It's an interesting thing for the Phillies to approach. One, because Bryce has had a bunch of injuries the last few years, and they have another 6 years left on the deal. Two, who knows what that CBA ends up doing, you know, whether there is a salary cap or there isn't, and I'm sure they want to keep it that as clean as they can after that. Do you think an extension for Harper happens? Do you think, like, it's important to him? Like, where do you think that stands? We were talking about it a lot last year, and it seems to have died down.
Yeah, it does seem to have died down now.
At least publicly.
Yeah, it feels extremely premature to me with 6 years left. And I have talked to both sides about this. John Middleton, on the record, will tell you he does not want Bryce Harper to ever play a baseball game in another uniform. So I think that means something. But, you know, I don't think he's ready to pull any triggers on it. He wants to see how things, you know, progress as Bryce moves toward the end of the contract. I spoke with someone in Bryce's camp at the winter meetings, and they talked about this very issue, topic at the winter meetings. The Phillies and Bryce Harper's team, his team talked about it. And I was told by someone who, very close to the situation, I said, you know, what's the deal with this extension? Is it ever going to happen? And the guy looked at me and said, yes, we believe it will happen eventually. But there's really, you know, nobody's, you know, putting the pedal to the metal to try to get it done now. And to me, that is the right way to view it. We don't want you to play in another uniform. He says his number one priority in the game is to win a world championship. That's all they should be focused on right now, is winning a world championship. And that's all, to me, he should be focused on, is winning a world championship. They have a club that's capable. You know, it's a very cooperative league. There's not a super, you know, super team that you can't take down in October. Team who gets hot and produces and plays well is going to win it. And why can't it be them? So I think that's where all your focus has to be, is winning, and winning now before this, you know, before this nucleus ages out.
Well, Harper is so interesting to me because he went from a guy before he was here as a polarizing guy, and he is not polarizing in Philadelphia.
No.
He has a 100% approval. You know, people are disappointed with this month or that month, but overall, he has been a very, like, fan-friendly guy. And fans look at, you have 6 years left on your deal, the $170 million left. They don't want to hear about an extension.
No, it's not the time. And it's funny.
Yeah.
You mentioned Polar. I kind of heard the same stuff about him, that he could be a little, at times, maybe a little difficult to deal with. He has been nothing but a first-class gentleman, you know, in his time here. Maybe Rob Manfred would argue differently. But, you know, I'm serious. He it looks like, you know, almost like he got a $330 million contract, and it's like, with that comes responsibility to connect with the fans. With that comes responsibility to connect with the fans through the media, because that is a conduit.
Yep.
He's been very accountable, and very, really a gentleman. So I think it's been a great signing for the production they've gotten, for the way he connects with the fans, for the way he electrifies the city. There's only one thing missing, and we know what it is. Go get it.
Yes, an extension. Oh, I know. World Series.
What it also says, what it also says is he has the ability to mature.
Yes.
Right. His time in Washington.
Yep.
However he felt about that time and whether or not he was going to be there for the rest of his career. And obviously, the idea that he soured on that. He's embraced being here from day one, and has been nothing but all in since he's been here. So maybe he's just happy where he's at versus where he was.
I totally agree, and I think you're right to use that word, and that, or that observation. People mature, and I think he's done probably grown up a lot here.
Yep.
And when he says he loves it here, I don't think
I believe him.
I believe him too. I don't think he's BSing.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
He's been here too long for us not to see cracks in whether or not he's putting on a facade for us. Like, we sniff that stuff out.
Well,
like,
and by the way, if he is and he's not cracking, more power to him.
He's at the great, the greatest.
More power to him.
Yeah, whatever. Greatest
actor.
Yeah, to be able to do that.
I'll tell
because
you.
Because it's been tough times where he could have and he still hasn't.
I'll tell you, I could stand 30% more hothead old Bryce on the field.
Like, yeah, he wants to see a little more.
A little
more attitude.
I think the team in general lacks a little bit of that. A little bit of bad boy pain in the ass. he has moments when he'll be the showman. But I think the Phillies could. They have a good clubhouse because they have mostly good guys, and I think that is good. But I think every clubhouse, every locker room could use one guy that is a little bit of a hothead. And I think him, if he was able to channel that visually, I think the other players seeing it, I don't know, I think it might resonate in times where they have these extended sort of, certainly over the last 2 years, blah periods where everybody's just waiting for them to be good again. And he, by the way, is guilty of looking the way that the team plays. And when they're blah, a lot of times he looks blah. And I think him, like, turning that up a notch on the field. I don't need him bad-mouthing the fans or anything, but if he was that, I think it would work for the team a little bit.
So Alec Boehm smashing a helmet doesn't do it for you?
Well, the crying in the dugout is more of the problem for me.
It's hard to get over that.
Yeah. The crying.
It's hard to get that image out.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I love players who play with fire and emotion.
Yep.
And I still see quite a bit of it in Bryce. I mean, look at Lewis Robert had his head somewhere else the other night, and he took an extra base on him. So I think that's a fiery way to play the
hustle.
Game. I think that resonates with people. I don't think you always have to have a temper tantrum, but, you know, maybe some of it's maturity. It's just the personality of that team. I think in some ways teams take on some personality traits of their manager, and Rob Thompson's a very steady, calming presence, but there's a lot of different ways to go about leading a team and a lot of different ways to go about winning a ball game. Ball games. This team just needs to start racking up some wins.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how deranged I am as a former athlete.
Yes.
I don't know if I could have played for a mild-mannered coach or manager like Rob Thompson.
Well, who's the model? You don't know what he's like behind closed doors.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
And like football and baseball, they're different. You don't bang your head on the locker.
The 93 team did.
Charge through
yeah.
the.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's just different. You have to be. I think you have to be more.
Yeah, a lot more patient.
Even keeled emotionally, and keep things in check because it's obviously football's a grind, but this is a grind as well. It's a different kind of
it's
grind.
More of a grind, yeah.
It's that daily grind where football is. I think you can get a lot out on the field.
Oh, yeah. Now, we need to be maniacs once a week.
Yep.
Yeah, so we can let it all loose in that one game.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to worry about it until the next
week. If you're a maniac, I think, in baseball and golf, the game is going to get
it's over with in golf, yeah.
Yeah.
It's over with baseball, too.
Yeah.
You're going to come unglued, and you're not going to be able to throw a strike. You're not going to swing at strikes, and you're going to lose your head, and next thing you know, you're going to be somewhere else.
I think the best example of the difference between baseball and football, and we were at spring training this year, and we were just watching them sort of lightly doing these infield drills.
Oh, warming up.
Smiling.
Yeah.
And I said, could you imagine if you brought a bunch of football players here and said, this is their training
camp?
Yeah,
I'm like, what the hell is going on out there?
Meanwhile, these guys are running into each other, just getting screamed at. Yeah. Meanwhile, Trey's like, ha-ha, I missed that ground ball. You know, it's just that you need a different mindset because of how the game and how many games
I will say that's how football used to be.
Yes, yeah. Well, with Vic back.
So I do.
That's true. With Fangio back.
I do think Bader does bring some edge, though.
I think so, too.
He does.
Jack sniffed out, that I do like Bader. I just got so – I do like Bader, but I got so disappointed because I want Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, you want to hit the Kwan.
I want the Kwan.
Hit the Kwan.
That when you tell me Harrison Bader compared to Stephen Kwan, he's just the guy. Stephen Kwan's not just a guy. Harrison Bader's just a guy.
What do you, Jack, what do you think of the Mets moves?
So, I've never seen the Phillies hit Tyler Rogers in my life. So yeah,
he's got great numbers against the entire organization.
Yeah, I know. I know. So that was concerning. Helsley, I think Helsley's great, obviously. Yeah. But I would rather pay a little more for Duran because of the control and whatnot. I think Cedric Mullins stinks. Like, he does not. And the fact that must really mean, by the way, that Robert's not getting traded. Because the Mets made sense for Robert. So, you know, getting Mullins, I guess, probably takes that off.
I just, you mentioned Duran's control. I absolutely love that they have him for three Octobers.
Yep, yep.
Unless we lose 27. I absolutely, you know, love the three Octobers because if he's what we think he can be, maybe the annual search for a big back-end arm is over. And, you know, this year's search, you know, came about and I think was intensified because Jose Alvarado let his team down.
Sure. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if Jose Alvarado continues what he had done the first almost 2 months of the season, maybe you got your closer and you're looking for a setup man.
Oh, yeah, we don't even
and you're not paying through the nose for what you had to get. I mean, so, you know, I don't let him off the hook, put it
sure.
that way.
Sure. Also fair to mention, we don't know how Jose Alvarado would have looked if he didn't
Without
do
it.
What he did.
True.
Yeah,
and you don't
yeah.
know how he's going to look when he comes back because he's not doing what he was doing.
Correct. Yeah.
There's a lot of variable there, yeah. but I think about how that you know, may have altered their trade deadline approach a little bit.
I'm more worried about the Padres after the deadline than I am. The Padres now have Jason Adam, Estrada, Robert Suarez, and Mason Miller.
So Mason Miller was available, and I got to think he was available if Andrew Painter was in 100%. The package. And
yep.
I would have thought about that. I love Mason Miller.
Oh, he's an animal. Jim Salisbury, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, brother. Always
that was
a
awesome.
Pleasure.
It is dead. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's online, marks-jewelers.com. What grade would you give the Phillies deadline so far? 67% say a B. We got, Dave, if you're listening, probably not, 2 hours and 5 minutes for you to go get Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, he should be on the phones yep. working him. Yes.
If you're listening to this, stop listening and go get him. It's Deadline Day, presented by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, live from McGurk's in Horsham. Ben Davis joins us next. Devin Caney is with us at the Deadline Desk. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.